Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hey, Cecilia.
Hey, Pastor Dave.
How are you today?
I am bright, cheerful, happy, bouncy, all that good stuff.
Oh, boy, it's going to be a fun program.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to the program we have planned, we had something come up that we need to follow up with last lesson because we have a letter.
From the inbox. This letter comes from Cara. Hi, Cara. It reads, Dear Pastor Dave and Cecilia, I think this is the first time I can say I am deeply troubled, maybe angry, by something you've said on the podcast.
Okay.
You said that children must obey their parents, even love and cherish them, unless the children are told to do something which goes against God's laws. You said that keeping the Ten Commandments isn't easy because we sin. Well, I for one want to know, what sin did the baby who was found beaten to death and dropped in a well commit? Or maybe you can explain this to the child who was locked in a room, starved, and sexually molested. And my final example is the teenager who tried all his or her life to do what their parents tell them to do, but all they hear is how worthless, stupid, clumsy, and fat they are. What about kids who are too scared of their parents to disobey because they don't want their brothers and sisters to be hurt or to be hurt themselves? How do you make all this fit in with honor your father and your mother? Cara.
That's really deep. How do you fit this in to honor your father and mother? It's not easy. Sometimes you really can't. My gosh. And when this came in, you and I talked, should we do it or not? And I think so, because this is the world we live in right now. First, I want to note the first two examples, the baby beaten, thrown in a well, and the child locked in the room and starved, that has nothing to do with the child. That's the parents. That's the sin of the parents. That is. And they'll have to answer that to the Lord, unless they repent and say, Jesus, forgive me, and then those sins can be forgiven by the blood of Jesus. But that's something they have to address. Now, the last two, I think, are significant and really deal with the fourth commandment of
being the fifth commandment.
Fifth commandment. Thank you. Of how you are when your parents are belittling you all the time, or how do you not speak or disobey them because you're afraid your brother or sister are going to get beaten again. You know, there are times in our sinful world, and I mention sinful world because there's a bunch of sinners running around doing things, sinful things to one another, that it's hard to know what's right and what's wrong. And sometimes there is no right, but all the things you choose are wrong. And it's a matter of which one is less wrong. And that's why, as a Christian, we are left with faith, walking by faith, that we say to Jesus, man, I got two wrongs to choose from here. I think I'm going to do this one, Lord, because it seems less. Please, bless it. And that's the best you can do.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find this comes up again and again and again with all these commandments, because we are people, sinful people, bumping shoulders, bumping elbows, putting feet out, tripping others, because we're sinners. And we got to figure out, what do I do in the midst of this, which is good, when there's no good going on sometimes? Thanks for the letter, Cara. I don't know if my answer is very good, very helpful. I pray it is. It's tough, but that's why we have Jesus walking with us, walking to help us make those choices of what to do. Sounds like a video game to me.
Yeah.
Somebody's shooting and trying to win the score, and there's...
Oh, the higher the score, the happier you get.
Yeah. You know, really, there's a lot of video games that work on that concept of destruction. And, you know, really, a lot of TV shows also. Though I like the mystery and stuff, it seems every time there's a mystery show, there's got to be a murder first. Like with Perry Mason. I don't know if there's ever a show. That's an old-time show, but that's my point. We always have things with violence. I wonder if maybe that's the reason why there's so much violence in our world right now. You know, we're going to be talking about violence and all that it does, people against people, today in today's podcast.
But they talked about it a long time ago in the book of Exodus, too.
What's interesting is it didn't get them anywhere. Does it get us anywhere? I think it does. Let's take a look and listen. Give me your money or you're dead.
But I've got kids to feed. Please, please, no!
Deal with this. You're right. I didn't go with his wife. Means she's still pregnant and they don't know. I got an idea. Scribe! Scribe, come here.
I am here, Your Majesty.
Take a note. Take a note. To the most excellent General Joab. When you attack the city, move Uriah, our most brave soldier, to the front of the line with the fighting. When the fighting is fierce, pull back so that Uriah is struck down. That is it, Scribe. Fold it up. Give it to Uriah to deliver to Joab. And no word of this whatsoever, or it is your head as well.
Yes, Your Majesty.
There. That should take care of it.
Hitler cries, "My life's fight has not been in vain."
Mein Lebenskampf ist nicht umsonst gekämpft.
I'm 2 weeks past my period. I know what that means. My boyfriend's gonna kill me. My parents are gonna kill me. Wait a minute. I'll do what Susie did. I'll have an abortion. That'll take care of the problem. Well, Grandma seemed pretty cheerful today.
Oh, come on. Cheerful? She could hardly get a word out from that feeding tube. We've been coming up here 10 days already to this nursing home. It's not going to change.
How do you know it's not going to change? I mean, it's a feeding tube.
Yeah, but she hasn't shown any change. What kind of quality of life is this? I mean, really. Just pull the plug and have it over with.
You shall not murder.
Luther goes on with the commandments, of course, and says, what does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need.
I see three parts to this. The first is fear and love God. If we really are, and this is what God is trying to say, is life isn't about you, but it's about me with you. And if you're going to live life with me, then I want you to live life with other people in a good way. Mm. And then we move on to the other two parts. Don't hurt or harm our neighbor, but help and support our neighbor. We showed how obviously a robber is just thinking of his own pockets.
Mm-hmm. And we showed how David, albeit he was a great king,
did some nasty things and killed people wrongfully.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler was only after his own fame and fortune and was willing to throw people not only under the bus, but in the gas chamber.
6 million Jews, indeed, not to mention people of other faiths who did not agree with him.
And we'll probably get some flack on this, I know, from some people, but this is what God's word says. Don't kill. And life, even life that's unborn, is life.
Yes, it is.
And so we'll talk more about the abortion situation, but especially abortion just because of need.
Not to mention, we may get flack on this, but someone who is on a feeding tube or is still alive, is not dying, but is on some kind of support system.
Because quality of life is just a ruse to make it easy for yourself. God never talked about quality of life. He only talked about life. With this commandment, you shall not kill, Jesus expands it to not just be the physical outward action of violence, but moves it into the heart and into the mind. When he speaks, Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22.
You have heard it said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell.
Jesus expands this in three ways, each getting more severe. The first, anger.
The desire in the heart that someone be physically hurt.
Raca.
In modern day language, empty-headed, you idiot.
Mm. And the third and most severe, you fool.
Go to hell!
Yeek. You know, with that, it moves it right into the heart of the matter. Excuse the pun, but the heart, our thoughts, our emotions. Outwardly, I work hard at being a nice, good guy, friendly and all that. I'm not always. Ooh, that says another thing. But in my heart, there are times I have thoughts, I have emotions. I stand guilty of breaking this commandment and guilty of judgment of God.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus died to pay the price for those yucky, disgusting, inside of the trash can thoughts and emotions that we carry in our hearts.
Hey, lady, got any money for food?
You know, I'm hungry, too. Come on. There's a good diner over there. I'll buy you lunch.
Hey, my neighbor's garbage cans are out there for the second day in a row. Why aren't they bringing it in? Wonder if that arthritis is acting up. Remember him saying something about that. I'll just go get them and bring them in for him.
What is this? Oh, packages in front of the apartment building door. If I hadn't had my cane, I would have tripped over them. You know, there are a lot of package pirates out these days. Maybe I could at least bring them inside. They'd be safe there. We've talked about the yucky, disgusting thoughts.
Yeah, God sees them as bad as the actual physical action.
And we've talked about the positive things that we can do for our neighbor.
Yeah, the one reason I love Luther's explanation of the commandments, he just doesn't say, don't do this, don't do that. But like on this commandment, he says, help and befriend. Do something to help your neighbor.
Well, we've been doing this podcast for a while now.
Yeah, 4, maybe 5 years.
So, you and I, we always get along, and we think just exactly alike, and everything just clicks together perfectly,
right? Just like a long married couple, never arguing.
Are there ever times when you want to just strangle me?
I suppose.
And what do you do?
What do I do? Well, first, I don't reach over and strangle you.
I'm still talking.
Yep. I mean, if I'm with somebody, sometimes rather than hitting somebody, I'll just get up and leave the room. I have done that several times. That's in a real extreme when I am just feel like I cannot control myself. I just say, excuse me, I need to leave. I need to get myself under control.
Yeah, thank God I haven't seen you do that too often.
No, we've not gotten to that situation. Usually it is just think calm, think good thoughts, and I try to think good thoughts about the person I'm with. So with you, I think about the good things that we've done together in the podcast or things we've done as friends. I try to think of those positives. If I'm with another person, I'm having trouble with that. I think of what Paul says, think of the things that are good, true. And so I sometimes I'll just dream about some of my happy times, happy moments. The one I love is when I was a teenager on a lake, and I was on an island, literally an island in this lake. And it was just, I could hear the water lapping. And I picture myself there, and that brings me calm. So I try to calm my emotions, because usually it's the emotions that trigger us off.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I do is I pray for people. And this is true for every single commandment. I was going to bring this up with the next commandment about committing adultery. I'm a guy. I have sins. I have bad thoughts about ladies. And so immediately what I try to do is I pray for that person, that she be faithful to her husband, that she find a husband, that she be true to God, that she whatever. And so if I'm very angry at a person, instead of strangling them, I start to pray for them. That they'll be healthy and that they'll live a long life, that things will go well for them today, that they won't be in a car accident. God bless them, keep the angels. I just pray positive things for them.
Now we get into a pretty serious topic. Is it ever okay to take a life? That is it ever okay to kill?
Well, it makes God very sad. I'll say it right away. And he would prefer it not. Because we live in a world of sin, God has indicated there are several times it is acceptable. One would be if you're a soldier. You are defending your country, defending freedom in order to keep your family and livelihoods going. That would be a place where it is okay to kill when ordered by a senior officer.
But what if we go over to another country to try and defend that country? We're not defending our freedom then.
One would say that it is their freedom, we're a brother next door trying to help, probably.
Okay.
Although there are contingencies even within our government that you can conscientiously object. Mm. You might have to go to prison, but that's a choice you can make. Another time it would be okay, again, not pleasant and not God-pleasing, But it is okay, and there are laws on the books in most states now where you can defend your family within your house. That if someone breaks in, it is acceptable to defend your family with a weapon, and thereby that means sometimes taking a life.
Mm-hmm. What about the death penalty?
Well, the death penalty, I know there's a lot of discussion on that one. Again, people many times feel it's not right to take a life. The only place it would be acceptable with the death penalty is if it's done by the government. The government would pass laws to say it's okay to deter other types of major crimes, such as other murders.
Oh.
And so if somebody is found to be guilty of committing heinous murders, and the judge, which is the government, would say a death penalty, that would be a place where it is acceptable, according to God, because it's not a person, but the government trying to defend itself and keep peace and harmony, it would be acceptable.
Okay. I have to throw a curveball at you.
Go ahead.
Jesus and his disciples were out one day, and they saw a woman who was about to be stoned to death, literally having stones thrown at her.
It's in John chapter 8.
Died. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And Jesus picked up a stone and he said, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." Well, everybody that was about to stone her walked away. She was facing the death penalty, wasn't she?
Well, yes, but who's doing the death penalty there? Really, in that sense, it was just the neighbors, the Klansmen around the community trying to do this, saying, "Ah, this person's sinning, let's get him." And that's wrong.
Oh, so it wasn't the government
No, it wasn't at all. It wasn't at all. When Pilate said to Jesus to be killed, that was the government. But it was the people who demanded it and pushed the government into it. I don't want to go too far with that. But no, I don't think this was the government at all that was trying to execute her. But it was trying to say, I think rightly so, you can't take the law into your own hands.
Ah.
There is one other situation I can think of, and I had to deal with this, where it was okay at least to consider death.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a young mom who came to me and said, "The doctors have told me that I should have an abortion because the child that's within me is probably not going to live. And even if it does and I go to full term, it could kill me. What should I do? I have a husband and two other kids."
Mm.
And I thought, and I said to Sue, "You know, really, this is your choice here. Because if you do not take the child's life, let's go this way. If you do take the child's life, what you're doing is protecting your other two children and husband. But if you choose not to, you might be risking." And so it was a very difficult situation. And I basically said to her, "Let's pray about it. And it's really up to you and what God leads you to do. This one's not an easy cut dry situation."
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and some mothers will say no in that circumstance, because of my husband and other kids, I need to be there to take care of them. And therefore, in order to protect others, one would choose an abortion. But it's for specific reasons the doctors say you won't live if you keep this child.
Generally, abortion is wrong, though.
Generally,
that's what we're saying.
Generally, correct. There's a few exceptions like that. By the way, Sue decided she was going to take the chance and kept on praying and trusting the Lord. That child was born. She lived. The child lived. And her husband, since, it was many years later, 20 years later, had a stroke. And now Amanda is the primary caregiver of her daddy.
Wow.
Taking care of him because he can hardly do anything for himself.
Oh, that's giving me goosebumps.
Yeah, God worked it out. And so here Sue wanted to honor life, and so she decided she was going to trust God and to work it out, and he did. He did. Well, there's two more situations that we haven't talked about when it comes to taking life,
mm-hmm.
and that's suicide and euthanasia.
I'm sure as a pastor, you have dealt with those who have committed suicide.
Many times. And I always say to a person who says, as I'm talking to one gentleman who's in prison right now, who regularly calls me and says, I just want to end my life. I said, don't, Dave. Don't. Suicide's wrong. Taking your life is wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. There's no way to get out of it. Now, on the flip side, I've had family members come and say, my husband, Jerry, committed suicide this weekend. Is he saved? Is he alive in heaven? Mm-hmm. And I ask, what were the circumstances? And it happened to be that he was on certain medication for a mental illness, but that he took in way too much carbon monoxide because he was a diesel mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And the combination of that carbon monoxide in his blood plus the medicine caused him to, in a moment of panic, take his life. And I told his wife, Linda, he's in heaven. One little thing mm-hmm. is not going to stop us from being in heaven. Because what saves us?
The blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus, our faith and trust in him, God's grace. And it's not us. And so even certain, how can I say it? We all sin all the time. Mm-hmm. The question is, are we willfully doing it, or is it a fluke of a moment to which we'd say right after, if we had the chance, Lord, forgive me. Faith is a relationship. It's a continuous span. And so if that span is broken by something out of a person's physical control, out of the control of the physical, certainly a person will be with Jesus. But it's when there's not those things and person says, life ain't worth living anymore, I just want to give up. Well, I understand that. But then suicide's wrong.
And I'm curious, how do you handle doing a funeral for someone that has willfully committed suicide?
Well, if I really conclude that they've willfully done it and there's no other circumstances, I actually don't.
You will not do a funeral at all?
Probably not. There's a chance I might to help the living.
That's what I was thinking.
That I point them to Jesus, though we can't say anything certain about this person here. Because a funeral is supposed to give certainty that they are in Jesus, they're in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And at a willful suicide, I suppose if I do it, I'd have to say, I can't tell you anything about this person, but I can tell you, if you want to have the comfort of everlasting life, you can do so in Jesus.
Mm.
And that leads to the other thing of euthanasia, someone say, life just ain't worth living anymore. Well, isn't euthanasia, in a sense, a form of suicide?
That is, when someone says, my family member is so sick and in so much pain, or their
quality of life is not worth living anymore. That's what we usually hear.
Yes.
God doesn't talk about quality of life. He just talks about life. And he admits there are times the quality isn't good. That's not a valid reason to take one's life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a doctor would say to me, your wife is on life control because of the machines, and if we take her off, she'll die. There's no brain waves. She really is not here. That's not euthanasia.
Mm-hmm.
That's not euthanasia. We're talking about, I'm going to die in 1 year of cancer anyway, so let's just quit now. That's the one we're saying is not right, is wrong. Because God says, I value life. That's why I gave up my life, so that you may have life. Not only does God value life,
but we value your lives. You are so important to us. So please write us.
You can do so at
info@not-alone.net.
And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.